Hey folks, my name is Jason Spies and I travel across these great states talking to small business owners, CEOs, policymakers, musicians, and mentors about making money, giving back, and balancing life. I find out how they prioritize professional and personal time while still making money. Yes, indeed, our guests are real heavyweights in understanding business and life. So get ready to relax, learn a little bit, and get a cup of coffee ready because my name is Jason Spies and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio.
Sitting on a million, sitting on it every day. Can't make no money giving your stuff away. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Welcome to Coffee and Capitalism Radio. My name is Jason Spies. I'm your host today, and thank you folks for pulling up a stool and joining the conversation. Coffee and Capitalism Radio brings you exclusive interviews and distinct content from leaders who drive our economy. From CEOs to small business owners to mentors to policymakers, Coffee and Capitalism is a leader in innovation, ideas, and inspiration. At the root, Coffee and Capitalism is about making money and giving back, learning the fine art of balancing work and family life while prioritizing your time. The roots of capitalism right here on Coffee and Capitalism Radio. On today's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we talk with Charles Olson about the uptick in refracs happening in the Bakken. They've got some great success out there. Of course, the oil and gas industry, the mining industry, the only industry in the United States that's a job adder over the past decade. The only industry that's added net jobs over the last decade is the oil and gas industry, and they're having some great success with refracs out in the Bakken oil field. And then we talk with Jason Wall, interim director for the Division of Medical Marijuana. He gives an update on the timelines that is anticipated for the medical marijuana that was voter approved, and we break down the timeline to find out when people can actually start investing and start growing and start dispensing medical marijuana in the state of North Dakota. And then it's off to the ranch, the Bison Ranch, more specifically. Kevin Lear, co-owner of Heartland Bison Ranch, talks about the roller coaster ride of the bison industry, the ups and the downs and the meat prices and the inventory, everything. Great interview with Kevin Lear with the Heartland Bison Ranch and the North Dakota Buffalo Association. And the author of The Pirates of Wall Street, Barry James Dyke. I think The Pirates of Wall Street sums up the theme of that interview. All that plus much more on today's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. It seems everywhere I go these days, someone is telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what professional speaker Mark J. Lindquist has to say.
To see Eric Hatch grow his business and then start to share it with other people, I think is one of those great steps in life. You know, what do you do in society? You succeed at a thing and then you teach other people how you did it. And now to see Eric duplicating his genius across the country, I'm telling you, there's a world changer down the street, and his name is Eric Hatch.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com. Back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for pulling up a stool and joining the conversation. Up next, Greg Hennessy, co-founder and chairman of the board for North Star Caviar.
I don't need nobody to tell me.
The background or the historical footnote is, it was illegal at the time that we applied for legislative permission to harvest paddlefish and make the caviar, because some Tennessee bootleggers, if I can use the term, were showing up at the Yellowstone, Missouri confluence in the 80s, and they were buying the gut piles out of the paddlefish at a garbage barrel, and they got to a point where they were so eager to get those gut piles that they were giving new pickups away to the fishermen in exchange for the fish bed. Whereupon the wardens figured out that these guys were bootlegging the eggs out of the gut piles and making more than enough money to buy those pickups.
They were bootlegging the paddlefish eggs. That's unbelievable. Interesting. I got to tell you, I was not expecting that. Talk to me a little bit about the marketplace that you have. Of course, a lot of people think of the, I think it's the sturgeon or the Russian sturgeon, beluga caviar. You've got a great account with the cruise line. Talk to me about your particular niche or your particular market share that you've got across the globe.
Well, the sturgeon story and the Russian product that comes out of the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, traditionally, and I'm talking back to pre-Russian Revolution, the Tsar, et cetera, centuries ago, there were four species of sturgeon. The beluga, which has got an egg berry about the size of a double-eyed buck, and then there were three other ones, Savruga, Osetra, and Golden. And Golden was not allowed outside of the Russian Tsar's court. That didn't even make it to Paris. But it happens that the Savruga egg berry, which is about the size of a BB, and it ranges from dark olive green to gray to black, is an identical size to the North American paddlefish. And in fact, all the blind tastings that we've conducted over time have proven that human taste buds cannot discern the difference between two properly made batches of North American paddlefish and Savruga sturgeon. And the proof of that is that about 15 years ago, some Russian mafia operating on the East Coast had managed to get a hold of a wholesale lot of North Star caviar. They took it offshore, relabeled it as Russian, and brought it back to the port of Baltimore, whereupon the Fish and Wildlife Service brought down a 25-count indictment in there in the pen. And the only way that they busted them was through DNA.
So I spent a little bit of time in Montana last year at the Inlet, which is near Sydney, south of Sydney, north of Glendive, and they snag the paddlefish from there as they go back to Lake Sakakawea. Do you guys have any sort of contract or deal or relationship with Montana when it comes to harvesting your eggs?
The short answer is that we've worked hand-in-hand with them since our startup days. The turnover on the Glendive Chamber Committee has been higher than what the turnover of our personnel has been for the Friends of Fort Union and the Williston Chamber, who are the two venture partners here.
To listen to the full-length interview with Greg Hennessy, co-founder and chairman of the board of North Star Caviar, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/thecrudelife. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Nobody tell me.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet. The Davis Refinery, a project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for pulling up a stool and joining the conversation. Up next, Dave McCarthy, Senior Director of Products for B-Square. Doug Burgum, North Dakota Governor, up here in the Bakken oil field, over the last Petroleum Council annual meeting, talked about some pretty lofty goals, including like 2 million barrels a day and, you know, no flaring and a number of different things. And, you know, on one hand, you might think, to the average person, might think, wow, these are pretty aggressive. I mean, we're doing 1 million barrels now and he wants 2 million. And, you know, we're flaring this amount and we want this. But he backed it up by saying, you know, big data. And then, you know, when you start thinking about layering in all the other big datas, and he was basically saying, now that we've collected this data over the last few years, let's do something with it and let's layer it together. Maybe bring in the UAS data, maybe bring in the ag data. And what I hear on two different levels is, one is companies like yourself that are helping oil and gas and other industries streamline their internal logistics, really, at the end of the day, are setting hooks for two future things. One is to save money down the line. Okay, yeah, that first, you know, bump might be there, but you're going to see how it's going to save money. And secondly, you're going to see new opportunities open up as you layer in some of this data. Am I out of line for thinking like that, or am I reading the tea leaves right?
No, I think you're absolutely right, and I can give you a couple of reasons why I believe that. I mean, number one, I think sometimes a misconception with IoT as a term, because it was sort of based around equipment data or other sensor data, made it seem like it was just that information in a vacuum. And to be honest, all of the good business benefit that you get isn't about just looking at that in a vacuum. It's really, in some respects, I mean, IoT data is a subset of the larger big data movement, and you want to be able to pull together all of the existing operational data that you have and other public data sources, along with this maybe new source of data, to be able to achieve some of the goals that you want to do. And likewise, same thing. I mean, the easy justification for investing some of this technology in the short run is cost savings, because if you can sort of define what that is, it's a very easy ROI model. But the real benefit is how can you unlock some new business models? And there is a company that we've been working with that, you know, so a great case in point, you know, delivering of fracking chemicals out to a site. And today, you know, they would do that in a liquid form. What they want to be able to do is dehydrate that and save a lot of that logistic cost. But the concern is, how do I make sure that when I rehydrate that product out in the field, that it's going to be the same consistency and composition as it was back in the plant? And by using, you know, these kind of technologies, you can ensure that. And so, you know, but it requires you to have to think a little bit differently about how you do business.
Wrapping up here, one of the first stories I did, I think this was the second story I did. The first story was, but the oil people aren't making money. The people selling picks and shovels was. It was a modern day oil boom back when it was $100 oil. But the story I did, the second story, which really I'm very much proud of because I'm seeing it play out right now. And the reason why I'm interviewing you was the stories was, this is not an oil boom, but it's a technology boom. What does that mean to you?
Well, I think, you know, I think that what it means to me a little bit is a lot of the things that people are chasing, like predictive failure and condition-based maintenance and optimization scenarios. I mean, these concepts aren't necessarily new concepts. I mean, they've been things that have been around the industry and lots of other industries for a while. But I think that there has been concern about whether or not they're really delivering, they ever delivered on what they could do. And I think the reason now why so many companies are getting excited about this is that what might have seemed like a little bit of science fiction, or maybe you got somewhere but you didn't get accurate enough, that the processing power, the availability of communications, the cost of implementing these solutions is coming down by the day. And so now all of a sudden it's not just the majors that are getting an opportunity to do this, but other companies as well. And and it is being driven a lot by technology. Now, the thing I always try to temper it with a little bit is, you know, it's not just that data analytics or some of these technologies are a silver bullet. It's how they make the people that are already in that industry work smarter and faster. You know, it's kind of that old analogy of doing that. And so, you know, subject matter experts are still incredibly important in delivering these solutions, but it's bringing that together with the technology that I think is getting people excited.
Yeah, and for me, what amazed me about it was that, from one, I saw what you guys were doing on the internal side in terms of streamlining basically business models, helping companies rewrite business models, really, at the end of the day. And then I saw what, like, these polymer companies were doing and these upstream companies and the fracking companies, and I couldn't believe the amount of intellectual technology crossing the road with physical technology. And then when you throw in Moore's law, which is, what is it, every 18 months, the processor doubles in speed and shrinks twice in size. I just was like, this is one of the most incredible technology booms driven by oil and gas, by the extraction of this shale boom revolution out there. And so to me, that's why it was like on sensory overload a little bit. So I don't know if you got any comments on that, but that's where I was coming from.
Yeah, no, and I agree. I mean, the potential is huge. You know, there's some naysayers that might say that oil and gas might have been a little bit of laggards in taking advantage of some of this, but I've been to a bunch of oil and gas-related trade shows lately, and maybe a couple of years ago, there were a lot of people poking around, like, you know, what is it, what does it mean? And now those conversations have transitioned into, let me show you what I've done. And we're going to see more and more of that, I think, going forward. And there's just, again, so much opportunity, and the technology is there that I understand that for some people it can almost feel overwhelming because it's a lot of technical terms and it's a lot of things that you may not understand in your business. But the reality is, if you can ground yourself in what it is that you're really trying to achieve, there are companies out there that can help you figure out the technology part. But it's a combination of understanding what do you want to do as a business, and other companies working with you can help you get there.
Dave McCarthy, B Squared. Any final thoughts you might have? Anything you want to reiterate? Anything we left out? Anything you want to accentuate?
I think that there's a great opportunity in oil and gas. I think that you're starting to see now some first movers really start taking advantage of this. You know, one of the things that I hear people say all the time is they're almost worried if they're too late. You know, they read a lot in the news, and they see what other people are doing, and they're worried about, you know, what does it mean for their business. And usually what I try to caution people with is to say that it's not too late. The horse hasn't left the barn yet. I mean, there's still a lot of people figuring this out, but now is the time. You need to really start understanding what these strategies mean for you and how this technology can help you transform your business, because in a few years, you might feel left behind. So it's a great industry. I love working in oil and gas. I've been spending a lot of time in Houston and Calgary, and so really looking forward to see how this continues to mature.
To listen to the full-length interview with Dave McCarthy, Senior Director of Products for B Square, or listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/thecrudelife, facebook.com/thecrudelife. Of course, all of our social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Too much to say. Well, it's nice to have something firm I can stand on. Well, the warm wind blows the grass between my toes, and I'm wearing my pencil down. Writing you letters from August until September.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any coffee and capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Seems everywhere I go these days, someone is telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what professional speaker Mark J. Lindquist has to say.
He is a person in this market and now in markets across the country with Hatch Coaching that is revolutionizing the way people approach the business. He's reinventing the way people look at the people model. That's why he brings in hundreds of people from all over the country who are trying to figure out how to do what he's doing in their market.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit CoachingWithHatch.com. That's CoachingWithHatch.com.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Congratulations! The bank gave you a credit card. It doesn't make you better than me! But you see, nobody gives me credit because I'm a bad risk and I don't pay my bills on time.
When it's time to put the booze down, find us some solid ground, clean this damn life up, and turn it off.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Thank you, folks, for pulling up a stool and joining the conversation. Up next, we talk with Justin Kringsted, director for the North Dakota Pipeline Authority.
Back to the ways of John and June,
you mentioned science project or something along those lines. What I wrote down is efficient, break-even, or science project. I know you said cookie cutter, or I'm sorry, each one is kind of specific and there's no cookie cutter on this. As an overall refrac procedure, are they still in that science project where it's costing them money? Have they gotten to the break-even point? Are they becoming efficient where they're actually, you know, seeing some good dollars profited? Is there a trend happening within the refracs right now?
Right now, I would say that the industry, when they're targeting those older first-generation Bakken wells, those in today's price environment are economic. They are making those work from a commercial standpoint. So, as I noted, that's really what we're going to see over these next several years is the industry really looking at working off some of those older wells in their inventory and looking at those for refrac potentials. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, as the technology, as the knowledge base grows, then we may start looking at some of those more modern Bakken wells and what may be done with those. But again, from a cost perspective, again, I just had this conversation on one of the sidebars with some of the industry folks. You know, there really is a very wide range for what a refrac cost. It depends on what techniques are used, what type of prep work and downhole reworks that need to be completed. But anywhere from, you know, as simple as a $1 to $2 million job up to higher than $4 million. And so, again, if you're going to be spending $3 or $4 million, you're going to need significantly more oil produced from that refract than you would, say, with a $1 or $2 million, a little bit more simple approach to that refract. Still a lot to be learned from everyone involved on how this could be used and applied most appropriately in North Dakota.
And the second question I had based on that, by the way, Justin Kringstead, North Dakota Pipeline Authority, you mentioned second phase, that sort of thing. Do they have, is there a set number of phases for these refracts, or is each well a different number of phases?
Well, so again, just looking back now, around 10 years of modern Bakken development, the industry has changed so widely. It was some year by year, new technology advancements, new techniques that the industry was using to complete these wells. And so as we move forward in time, the industry is going to continue to look at all of the various techniques that were used throughout the early development of the Bakken and try to figure out, you know, what opportunities may still lie within those wells where there's resource still in the ground that with our modern knowledge base and our modern techniques and styles, can we reaccess some of those reserves that ultimately would be left in the ground if not readdressed.
Okay, I see. It's more of a kind of a 2.0. It's more of a technology phase as opposed to, you know, this is the first phase, this is the second phase, this is the third phase. And so am I hearing the phases right then?
Correct, yeah. And so, again, we're still relatively young in understanding how refracts can play out in the Bakken. And if you and I, if we have this conversation again 5 years from now, we'll vastly have a much broader sense of how this is going to continue to move forward.
You know, I do forget that, you know, several years ago, we were talking when the Bakken was, you know, $100 oil, that sort of thing, kind of the talk of the time was, you know, we're only accessing 10%, 7%, 12% of the Bakken. So as technology advances, you know, you're going to have more opportunities to go back in and take the oil out. And that's what we're talking about here, the refrac and these different phases. So, I mean, we could have five different phases of the Bakken, couldn't we?
Exactly. And so that's Charles Gorecki with the EERC, the last phase of this morning's panel that I participated in. That was really his focus is, again, we understand that the Bakken, the resource in the ground is enormous. And when we're only receiving 8 to 12% of the oil using today's technology, his office, his group, is working with those industry partners to figure out, okay, how do we get to 15%? How do we get to 20%? And so he was highlighting some of the pilot programs they have coming up where they're looking at using dense phase gas as an EOR opportunity. There's some pilot projects coming up in the coming months. There's some permitting just got completed by Liberty here in North Dakota. And so folks are definitely not slowing down the technology curve. They're moving forward as quickly as they can to figure out, you know, again, how do we move from 8 to 12% up to 15 to 20%? And can we even go above and beyond that? Time will tell. And it's really right now, it's not restricted by the geology and the resource in the ground. It's restricted currently by our ability to develop the technologies to get it out. And so anyone that follows any technology, you know that as time goes on, people get smarter, they get better, and I would expect the same thing to take place with this resource.
To listen to the full-length interview with Justin Kringstead, director for the North Dakota Pipeline Authority, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/thecrudelife. Of course, all the social media links, Twitter and all those are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
It's the truth, back to the ways of John and June, I'll hammer on the harmony.
Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Back to the way. Oh, 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 back to the way. So back to the way.
If you have any coffee and capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
All we need is four wheels, a full gas tank, and a few miles left. Where all the lonesome souls go? Who wrote their songs of living? Now it's our souls left. For the giving, we already know how it's done. Let's put our lives on hold and run, dodging the clouds and heading for the sun.
Few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for pulling up a stool and joining the conversation. Up next, Greg Hennessy, co-founder and chairman of the board for North Star Caviar.
Hey, Mockingbird, Mockingbird.
The background or the historical footnote is it was illegal at the time that we applied for legislative permission to harvest paddlefish and make the caviar because some Tennessee bootleggers, if I can use the term, were showing up at the Yellowstone, Missouri confluence in the 80s, and they were buying the gut piles out of the paddlefish at a garbage barrel, and they got to a point where they were so eager to get those gut piles that they were giving new pickups away to the fishermen in exchange for the fish gut. Whereupon the wardens figured out that these guys were bootlegging the eggs out of the gut piles and making more than enough money to buy those pickups.
They were bootlegging the paddlefish eggs. That's unbelievable. Interesting. I got to tell you, I was not expecting that. Talk to me a little bit about the marketplace that you have. Of course, a lot of people think of the, I think it's the sturgeon or the Russian sturgeon, beluga caviar. You've got a great account with the cruise line. Talk to me about your particular niche or your particular market share that you've got across the globe.
The sturgeon story and the Russian product that comes out of the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, traditionally, and I'm talking back to pre-Russian Revolution, the Tsar, et cetera, centuries ago, there were four species of sturgeon. The beluga, which has got an egg berry about the size of a double-eyed buck, and then there were three other ones, Savruga, Osetra, and Golden. And Golden was not allowed outside of the Russian Tsar's court. That didn't even make it to Paris. But it happens that the Savruga, an eggberry, which is about the size of a BB, and it ranges from dark olive green to gray to black, is an identical size to the North American paddlefish. And in fact, all the blind tastings that we've conducted over time have proven that human taste buds cannot discern the difference between two properly made batches of North American paddlefish and Savruga sturgeon. And the proof of that is that about 15 years ago, some Russian mafia operating on the East Coast had managed to get a hold of a wholesale lot of North Star caviar. They took it offshore, relabeled it as Russian, and brought it back to the Port of Baltimore, whereupon the Fish and Wildlife Service brought down a 25-count indictment in there in the pen. And the only way that they busted them was through DNA.
So I've spent a little bit of time in Montana last year at the Inlet, which is near Sydney, I think south of Sydney, north of Glendive, and they snag the paddlefish from there as they go back to Lake Sakakawea. Do you guys have any sort of contract or deal or relationship with Montana when it comes to harvesting your eggs?
The short answer is that we've worked hand-in-hand with them since our startup days.
To listen to the full-length interview with Greg Hennessy, co-founder and chairman of the board of North Star Caviar, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/thecrudelife. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Frozen cobblestone reflects the night, riding up the smile faces of the people passing by. It's the Broadway shining with the marquee sign. Frozen cobblestone reflects the night. Small city, it's a big time life. And I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm choking with the people that I know. And I'm thinking, I'm drinking, I'm spinning, I'm grinning. Hope my car stops when I go.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Coffee.
car's dead, the engine's froze. I feel the wind chill down to my toes. Well, I'm glad I don't live too far away. Well, the moonlight's shining on my walk home. I'm breathing in cold, they're exhaling smoke. So quiet, I can hear it all. And I'm walking out.
If you have any coffee and capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
People that I know. Thinking I'm drinking, I'm spinning, I'm grinning. Oh, my car starts when I go.
Jack be nimble, Jack be quicker. Jack will not jump over the candlestick. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
And that concludes this week's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. For a full list of today's guest and interview, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. We'll be back next week on this radio station at this time. For a full list of our radio affiliates and other media partners, please visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and from the staff here at Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we're asking you to be happy, make money, and give back. Thanks for joining us this week, folks.
Sign on our front porch saying, hot stuff for sale, why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Seems like no matter who I talk to in the world of business these days, people are telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what Jeff Schatz, superintendent of the Fargo Public Schools, has to say about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching.
I just thought that his story about how he talks about the struggles that he and his family went through and having children, and how, you know, everybody has a hot mess, and how do you deal with that in life? And I just thought that really resonates well with, you know, folks. And so I thought that would be a great message for everybody to hear. Well, then beyond that, I've also seen Eric do some of the other things that he does with emceeing and leading other types of things that he does. He does coaching, I know, with students where the principals have hired him to come in and do that. So I just extended that opportunity for him to be the MC too. He was very well received.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.